IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve.
Director of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, and I'm here with the good sheriff. Welcome back, sir, from your Arkansas training.
Sam, it's great to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning. And yes, I was in a little town called Eureka Springs, and it was middle of nowhere in Arkansas. I flew into an airport I didn't even know existed. Northwest Arkansas Airport. So I don't even know why they call it Northwest. I don't know if that's the name of the town or if that's just the area that's located in. I never quite figured that out, but I got me a baseball cap from Eureka Springs, and
yeah.
we had to buy a new suitcase because all the stuff we put in our other suitcase collapsed the wheels on it. So we've had them just too big, too full. And Eureka Springs was really unique because Sheriff Jim Ross, who has attended our national conventions at Virginia, in Lynchburg, Virginia, 2 years ago, also came to the Woodlands a year ago, and now was at this one, and he organized this one. And folks, please take this as an example of what needs to be done. Citizens got him involved. Now he's gotten more involved, and he's getting other sheriffs involved. And do you see the snowball effect of the power of one? That seemed to be an underlying backdrop of our conference there, the power of one. And my goodness, it was just a tremendous meeting. We had about 30 people there and about 12 public officials and about six sheriffs. And it was tremendously accepted. Chris Ann Hall spoke, and I spoke, and then we showed some videos of Brad Rogers and a couple of others, and we were going to show your video, but Chris Ann went too long, and so we didn't
Thanks,
get to
Chris
that.
Ann.
Yeah, I know.
But all good. No worries, sir. You know what? We're making a tremendous difference, and there was another sheriff that was there, too, you got to mention. He was on this TV show with a sheriff, with his wife.
No, he didn't make it. Chris Brown didn't make it.
Oh, Chris didn't make it. All right.
No.
I know he was hoping to go.
He had some meeting in Washington, D.C. He had some meeting in Washington, D.C. he put in front of us. So anyway.
Wow.
He's going to make it. He's going to make it to Vegas, though. And, yeah, he's a stalwart constitutional sheriff. So anyway.
All right. Well, we'll forgive him this time.
Incredible
event in Arkansas, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little taste of what we're doing all over the country. And Sheriff, you have the quote of the day to kick us off, right?
I sure do, Sam. Thank you. We love this part. Okay. Here we go. This is the order of the court. Mac Prince v. United States, the only time in history where sheriffs sued the federal government and won a major landmark case. This is the order of the court. Quote, the federal government may neither issue directives requiring the states to address particular problems, nor command the state's officers or those of their political subdivisions to administer or enforce a federal regulatory program. Period.
Can you say nullify now, Sheriff?
Absolutely. That's what it's saying. And obviously, The Supreme Court in this particular case, written by Justice Scalia, is telling the world the federal government is not our boss. But the states must maintain their autonomy and enforce this, or the federal government will just keep taking land and keep taking rights and keep taking powers and stealing and usurping all the authority in this country, to where we are bowing down to a central government that the founding fathers had no intention of ever creating. So the monster is now biting us on the backside, and we, the states, especially the governors, legislatures, and sheriffs, must push back. And that's where we
now
are.
Now, what they'll argue against this Supreme Court victory, Sheriff, is they'll say, oh, but remember the Supremacy Clause. The Supremacy Clause, gives them supreme authority to do anything they want to, anywhere, anytime. Do you want to respond to that?
Yes, that's why in this section, and I'm holding it up so everybody can see, right there where my finger is, Scalia addresses the Supremacy Clause in this decision. The Supremacy Clause, and he clarifies it in a most powerful form. And I add one word to it, to his quote: the laws of the land, however, makes law of the land only laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance of the Constitution. So the only time the federal government has any supremacy is when they're following the Constitution. If they do not follow the Constitution, they have none. Zero.
So remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution literally is a list of the things that we have delegated to the federal government. Here's a list of what you can do. And if it's not there, it's off the table, a.k.a. 10th Amendment, 9th Amendment, etc. Yeah. Okay, you have a list and you have supremacy over that very limited scope list. We've delegated authority to you, but we've also created dual sovereigns, which means, yeah, the federal government has supreme authority over that limited list. The states have everything else. And the people respectively. And so when government acts outside of its designated list of authority and pretends it's supreme over everything, they become rogue, out of control criminals. And it's the state's duty. It's the sheriff's duty. It's the governor's duty. It's the state legislative body all up and down the line to defend ourselves from this ever increasing wagging the dog, the tail wagging the dog scenario here. We have got to push back and stop it. We've got to nullify now. In fact, Scalia went on, Sheriff Mack, and hopefully you can find this part easily, where he basically said for you to carry out the edicts of the federal government would force you to violate your oath of office, right?
Yeah, actually, that was Judge Roll in the district court case.
Okay, so that's in the district court where Judge Roe basically said, hey, you can't do both. You can't keep your oath to the people and obey the federal government. It's impossible to do both.
But I did put it. That is in this book. It's on page 2 right there, folks. And Judge Roll said, Mack is thus forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the act, subjecting himself to possible sanctions. So Roll was incensed of the arrogance of the federal government that they could threaten to arrest us if we simply failed to obey the order, the unconstitutional order pursuant to the Brady Bill. And so he said, no way. And I was really taken aback by Judge Roll's sensitivity to the purpose for which I filed this lawsuit, because I literally was forced by my federal government to decide whether or not I should keep my oath or obey their order and pretend legislation that I should have to answer to them somehow. And I guess that's probably one of the greatest parts of this whole case is that we told the federal government, you're not our boss. We don't have to obey you. You do not have all governmental powers, but only discrete enumerated ones, which is also right out of this decision. And again, Scalia didn't try to make up anything new. He simply reinforced the Constitution, quoted the Founding Fathers, quoted the Federalist Papers, and quoted the Constitution itself.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very serious indeed. Now, I want to tie this to a gazillion things that Joe and crew are doing. They want to push forced vaccinations via businesses. So they want to literally go into the private sector. Now, the courts have spanked them and stopped them decently well. But I don't think we always need to go to the courts for guidance. States could nullify now. States could simply say, you know what? I appreciate Joe telling businesses this and that and that. But sheriffs and governors could stand up and say, no way, we're not doing that. But let me give you the latest shot across the bow, Sheriff, that I want you to respond to in light of your Supreme Court case win. Headline says, Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, new rule would make firms reveal climate toll. So this is the New York Times.
Climate toll. Sam, you're frozen there. You're frozen. If you can hear me, you're frozen. But I hope I heard you right, Sam. You said climate. That's really, I thought you meant client. That they had to reveal client. Folks, I guess we lost Sam there for a minute. You can understand one thing, though, folks, from the Mac Prince case, and that is that the states must be pushing back and that the states are a significant part of the Constitution's protections of federalism. And federalism, I know it's a strange word, federalism, you sound like, oh, well, that supports federal government, federalism. Federalism is actually the division of powers between the states and the federal government. And the states must push back. And Sam was just alluding to something that is very powerful that we use in our presentations nationwide. And that is that we do not have to go to the courts. You back, Sam? We do not have to go to the courts to on every single issue and ask permission from the courts to take a stand as a sovereign state. The states are not subject to federal direction, and we don't have to ask permission from the federal courts especially, but no courts at all for to maintain that relationship, to maintain that power that is inherent in the states. And the states can push back. The states do not have to do what the CDC says. The states do not have to do what the President of the United States says. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Sam is back. Oh, Ann is here. Oh, great. Hi, Ann, this is Sheriff.
Well, Sheriff Mack, great to be with you today. How are you?
Good. You look bright and chipper today.
Well, believe it or not, I'm here in the swamp in Washington, D.C. It's gorgeous out here right now. Cherry blossoms are starting to come out. But, you know, we're seeing D.C. sort of return to, quote, normal, if you will. It doesn't seem like they've taken all the walls of Jericho down. It's like the walls of Jericho have come down. The trucking convoy that's been circling the Beltway blowing horns has been very symbolic. And yesterday I sat in Coy Griffin's Cowboys for Trump's hearing, and there were so many biblical references. It was quite extraordinary, references to timestamps like 316 and 117 and a few other things that were quite interesting. But to look in that courtroom and see Coy Griffin sitting there, basically going to trial without a jury because he doesn't trust the jury in D.C. with Judge McFadden against 13 different government lawyers stacked up against him. And his attorney is proving the government has basically lied their way through this entire case to fabricate something because they want a head. They want a trophy. And I believe Judge McFadden is very reasonable. And I think today we're going to get a favorable outcome. I'm going to head over there after this interview to continue to cover it. But it's interesting when you're in D.C. to watch these people talk about God and religion and they don't spontaneously combust.
Yeah, no kidding. That will bust. That will cause a big problem in the swamp. Pardon me?
I've lost your audio.
Can you hear me? Oh, wow. Okay, so.
I don't know. I could hear you before, but it was when we were connected through the studio. You were faint sounding, but I could barely make you out. Now you're completely silent. So there's something I'll check myself. I have let me double check
here. I can hear you. I can hear you.
My audio is on. It's up. Check. I'm good now.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Perfectly. You're much better. Good. Thank you.
Now, who was it that you said is on trial there?
Oh, so Coy Griffin, Cowboys for Trump. He's the Cowboys for Trump, the guy who's pulled his horse and ridden his horse all over the world, you know, here in D.C. several times. He brought Big Red across country from New Mexico. He's a commissioner there, a county commissioner. He came here because he's on trial. He wanted to go to trial. In fact, yesterday was the pretrial hearing, and the judge specifically said, do you want to move forward? He said, I want a trial, because he's not only standing for himself, Sheriff Mack, he's standing for all the J6 prisoners, the political prisoners who are in the D.C. gulag right now being completely mistreated. So this is, it's explosive what is coming out in this trial.
What did he get charged with?
He was charged with misdemeanors, two misdemeanors, of which one was trespassing and the other one was destruction of property. Something, I forget the actual language, but it was misdemeanor of trespassing and property. And of which, yes, he was standing on the Capitol steps, but he was subduing a crowd of hundreds with a megaphone praying. So the crowd that was listening to him in the video that the government presented, this is what was so crazy about this whole thing, Sheriff Mack, is the government's witness and all the video evidence exonerates Coy Griffin. It's indisputable. And I think Judge McFadden is probably scratching his head going, what are these people doing? But they're up there trying to make a case for a guy that was violent, was trespassing. But if anything, all the video evidence exonerates him. And this star witness for the government exonerated Coy, as well as a Secret Service agent and the other Metro Police people. It's hysterical what's going on. Yeah. So funny,
well,
not funny.
Well, that's really amazing that they're making that big of a deal out of two misdemeanors. I mean, this has become a national case and national news, and for a simple trespass charge. But if he stayed outside, I don't even know how they could get him for trespass. How do you trespass on a public building when you stay outside the building?
The video evidence is compelling. They had Secret Service and barricades. They had Amy and Kylie Kramer, the Kramer family, who were allowing people in certain areas.
I'm here, Hunter.
There was just so much. Hi, Sam. Good morning. There was so much.
Thanks for having me. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. I froze. I'm so sorry. Keep going, Ann. We love you. Go ahead.
Keep going. Yeah, keep going, Ann.
The video evidence is just completely compelling for a full exoneration of not only Coy Griffin, but the thousands of people that were there. I mean, if you're going to make an example of Coy Griffin, throw him in solitary confinement for 13 days, not a shower, not a phone call, nothing. Talk about PTSD in a DC gulag like that. If you're going to do that, then what about all those thousands of people that are on video as well? I mean, why do you single somebody out? Is it because he's friends with President Trump? He's been to the Oval Office. He's received phone calls from the president. Is that why you make an example of him? I mean, clearly there's a political agenda at work here, you know?
Well, what really concerns me there is that they're so blatantly showing their prejudice towards people who were associated with Trump, but also the entire episode on January 6th. They're really overplaying their hand, and I think it's becoming way too obvious that they don't mind mistreating arrestees and the inmates who should have never even been inside there, because each one of them should have been cited and released instead of put in prison, put in jail and shackles and so forth, because none of them have proven to be a danger to anyone. And especially Griffin, who is a preacher and very religious Christian. None of the violence that they have pursued just didn't exist there. I'm always looking at this whole thing as from my view as a cop, and I look at all that and I see Portland getting burned down, and I see all the crimes and rapes committed in Seattle and the murders and what going on in Chicago and New York, And we spend they the cops spend no time trying to trace down the people who were burning down Portland, but people who are on the lawn and on the steps at the Capitol, they go after like it was a national crime and national syndicate, and that they're the mafia, and we've got to stop this. And it's just so ridiculously hypocritical and dishonest. And I hope that this comes to light with the judge you're talking about. Did you say judge? What was his name?
Judge McFadden. He's McFadden. Noted for being very he's noted publicly for being very disgusted with the DOJ's inability to provide speedy trials and speedy, you know, just get through the mud here. You've
got
now
you're talking about that Constitution stuff. Yeah, the federal government doesn't have to obey the Constitution.
It doesn't apply to the swamp.
No.
Sheriff Matt, I'm excited about this interview.
Were you there?
Go ahead.
Were you there on January 6th? Yeah.
We were there from January 3rd through January 20th. So we saw a lot of things. I was actually at stage 7 on January 6th. I was out from 7 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon. I was slated to speak on stage 7. And where stage 7 was on the other side, the north side of the Senate Russell building. So I was standing at a stage where there was a big screen TV and a stage, and I was over there with a bunch of people like Dr. Zelensky, Mickey Willis, Mike Smith, a lot of people that were over there speaking on health and freedom. It was a health and freedom stage. So I was over there, and what happened was when President Trump started speaking, they stopped the live speakers and put up the big jumbotron, and we were watching the president speak. Now, what I could see was the Russell building, the backside of the Russell building, so I couldn't see the Capitol. Next thing I know, we're all getting text messages. They've stormed the Capitol. I'm like, who's they? President Trump's still speaking. So we left and started to walk over there. I never actually got on stage to speak, but we left, and I think it was around 1:45 or something like that when I made my way over there. And when I got to the east side of the Capitol, just opposite the Supreme Court, you could see a sea of people, and there was people clearly going, let's go, come this way, we got to go in there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? I was like, we don't need to go in there. They know we're here. They know we're disgruntled. We're redressing our grievances on stages, and we're talking about it. They know what's going on. But I watched people that were, you know, going in. But what I really saw, Sheriff Mack, and I filmed this, was doors opening from the inside to the out, letting people in.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Ann. It's been great talking with you. We need to do this again. I apologize for being late.
Yeah, no worries. All good. I look forward to seeing
God bless
you,
ladies and gentlemen. Ann Vandersteel on The Sheriff Mack Show.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. The Dr. Hotze Report airs every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Time on Brighteon.tv. I'll take you behind the scenes so you can know what's really going on. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you want to prevent yourself from getting an infectious disease, then it seems wise for you to develop a strong, healthy immune system. Wouldn't you agree? I've developed an immune pack with my recommended dosages of vitamins A, B, C, D, zinc, magnesium, and probiotics to support your immune system and to keep you healthy and energized. I've also formulated a teens pack and a kids pack.
Order your Dr. Hotze Immune Pack today at physicianspreferencevitamins.com or call 281-646-1659. Use the code BTV at checkout for a 10% concession.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. I'm the host of the Dr. Hotze Report that airs Mondays at 4 p.m. Central Time on Brighteon.tv. I'll take you behind the scenes so that you can know what's really going on. I believe that you need to have a doctor who can coach you onto a path of health and wellness naturally so that as you mature, you've got energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. Do you have low energy, weight gain, allergies, insomnia, anxiety, brain fog, low libido, and joint muscle pain? At the Hotze Health and Wellness Center, we treat the underlying cause of these symptoms rather than masking them with drugs. We treat for hypothyroidism, sex hormone decline, adrenal fatigue, allergies, yeast, and nutritional deficiencies. This is Dr. Hotze saying, take charge of your health.
Call today at 281-698-8698. Mention Patriot and receive 10% off your initial visit and a free copy of Dr. Hotze's book, Do a 180.
J&M Jewelry specializes in custom-designed jewelry that is made in America. Our master designers have years of experience in all types of custom designs. Since we are manufacturers and wholesalers, we can provide you with the highest quality jewelry at the lowest price. Schedule an appointment with us today.
J&MJewelry.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panicked. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
Americans, the Sheriff Mac Show continues on Brighteon TV, Brighteon Radio, Liberty News Radio, Loving Liberty Radio Networks, and a whole lot more. You got to love it. TV simulcast with radio, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make a couple of points about what Ann Vandersteel was talking about. She was telling you that the trial has started for Trump, Cowboys for Trump leader. I think it's Coy Griffin. Is that how you say it, Sheriff?
Yes.
C-O-U-Y, Cowie Griffin. Anyway, I don't know if you know this, but Mr. Griffin, in addition to starting the Cowboys for Trump, Mr. Griffin is an elected official. He's a county commissioner of Otero County, New Mexico. Did you realize that?
Yeah, I did. I did know that.
All right, that's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. They're trying to take conservatives out of everywhere. The part of the reason that they're attacking him so hard is because he is an elected official, because he does have a stake in honest elections, because he has more authority, if you will, than the average Joe. So they're trying to make an example out of him. How dare you climb the elected ladder and then turn against the election machine that got you there is kind of what they're saying, Sheriff. Do you want to speak to that? Because I think it's critical to understand.
Yes, I actually ran in Otero County with another individual running for sheriff there about, was it about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And so I met Griffin during the campaign there. Good, solid patriot, good, solid man, very honest, would never do anything to hurt someone else. And I'm really totally on his side. And I believe that he's going to be exonerated and that the government's going to look stupid again. And usually they don't need Coy's help to look stupid, but because they do that all on their own. But this out of control government and this one-sided view of the entire episode on January 6th has been distorted and lied about. And the prosecutions have been extremely unfair and extremely unconstitutional, and the rights of the people to face their accusers and to get a speedy and public trial have been violated over and over. And so as they go after these people for misdemeanors, they are committing felonies in going after them. And it just, it that actually segues into our next guest.
Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen, because there's a lot of people trying to do a lot of things to create accountability and transparency in government. This effort to go to the Capitol was one of them. I realize provocateurs ran it off the rails, but as Ann wisely pointed out, you know what? Most of these people were innocent. Most of these people just wanted to let their redress of grievance, one of the First Amendment guarantees, to be well felt, to be understood. They wanted to peacefully assemble. They wanted to express a redress of grievance. They wanted their free speech. We wanted freedom of the press. All those things were at stake there, and they literally had provocateurs violate them all. All right, is our guest with us, Randy Miller, yet? Hi, Randy. All right, well, we'll try to go to Randy here in a minute. Hopefully we'll get that together. But this is really important to understand. There's a lot of efforts being made, Sheriff Mack, to right the wrongs, not only with the elections, but with all kinds of issues. And I mentioned climate change. That'll be one of the next ones that we're all going to end up suing and trying to get a redress of grievances over. But right now, it's as you know, the COVID virus, the mandate of vaccines in business to keep your job. You got to take the jab. Never mind the jab's experimental. It's not even approved. Never mind that the courts have now said no. They're still on a bender for this. They're on a bender to make us wear masks. Just when we think we're coming out of it is the spring and people are thinking, okay, this is finally coming to an end. You know, you got whacked out Anthony Fauci up there going, no, it's not over yet. In fact, there's a new strain of coming and it's going to get worse and you better. And so now they're backing into these vaccine passports or vaccine, they call them passes, where over 2/3 of the nation already has access to this. I mentioned this, I think, on the program a week or two ago. And so this is the issue. And so a lot of people are filing complaints with their local courts saying, hey, we need investigations here. We need accountability and transparency here. Sheriff, do you want to speak to that? And then we'll go to Randy.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing, my bottom line question on this whole thing, on the whole COVID thing or climate change or whatever it is, how the federal government just believes it's in charge of everything. Every aspect of our country, every aspect of our lives, every aspect of education and healthcare and on and on and on, that just everything becomes their business. If somebody stubs their toe somewhere and nobody took care of it, then the Washington, D.C. and U.S. Congress are going to take care of it and they're going to make a law and they're going to pass an ordinance or a law that people can't stub their toe in the cities of America. It's not their business. And as a matter of fact, the federal government, if you read the Constitution, the entire Constitution has not even been delegated for 40 powers. It doesn't even reach 40. And yet they have stolen and usurped and illegally taken another 5,000, where they just become in charge of everything. Why? Because they said so. And they believe that they are the only determiners of how far their authority goes. They are the only ones to determine how far their authority and power goes. And it's not. It's the Constitution. And where the states have failed and failed miserably is that they have not held the federal government's feet to the Constitution's fire.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business, and this is where I think Richard Mack's quote of the day really comes in. Look, folks, the federal government has no authority to mandate the states do anything. Whether it's climate change, we should nullify now. Whether it's, you know what, we're going to arrest everybody on the planet due to January 6th, nullify now. Whether it's vaccinations, nullify now. Whether it's, okay, we can go on and on and on, but the states seem to just think they're political subdivisions of the federal government, and we have got to educate ourselves out of this one. We not only need to educate ourselves so people understand the truth, but then we need to hold our elected officials accountable. They seem to be scared to act. They seem to be like a deer in the headlights, Sheriff Mack. And that's something that we really need to kind of understand, too. All right, Randy, are you with us?
Still no Randy. Right, well, Randy, are you there? Nope, I guess not.
We'll probably need to reschedule Randy.
We'll have to get him another time.
All right. In the meantime, though, I really think this is critical to talk about nullification, though. We had Tom Woods speak at one of our events, Sheriff, and Tom Woods gave an incredible speech about nullification.
Oh, now, yeah, remember, we showed his video.
The Harvard...
We showed his video in Arkansas.
Yes, he's the Harvard graduate, ladies and gentlemen, that says he graduated Harvard so he could mock them.
Yeah.
And that's this guy, right? Yeah. But yet this guy is the quintessential educator on Nullify Now. He wrote a book called Nullification. And he really documents the history of this well with all kinds of notes in his book. I mean, it's well-researched and well-documented, Sheriff, about nullification. Yes. And that matches the Founding Fathers' intention with your Supreme Court case, doesn't it?
It totally does. And I really love that. And Tom Woods is a great teacher, as you said. He's a great speaker. Absolutely nails it. And it's irrefutable what he is saying about the states can nullify what the federal government does. And that backup for that principle comes from Madison and Jefferson in their Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. And it was pursuant to a founding father's huge blunder and unconstitutional act when he supported the Alien and Sedition Act. Poor John Adams just got tired of doing stupid things and then having everybody accuse him of doing it. And so it was really sad to see John Adams, a founding father, go against the Constitution that he fought so much for. So he got a little bit unstable in his thinking process about freedom. And he actually had people arrested for just bad-mouthing his government and his administration. And then Thomas Jefferson won the next election. Adams only stayed in one term, and it was probably because of that. And then Jefferson actually refunded people's fines and got them out of prison. And this was because of the same principle, that the states don't have to go to court. That's what Madison and Jefferson said. The states don't have to go to court every time to fight something stupid from Washington, D.C. politicians, that they simply can say no and make sure that they exercise their power to defend people and protect people from being victimized by our own federal government. And that's actually what my case also says. And that is actually what I did in this whole Mack Prince case.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you say we don't have to go to court, we already went to court. And the court was decisive. And the language is clear. And the evidence mounts from the Founding Father-esque documentation that Tom Woods produces in his book about the historical relevance and the value of the Founding Fathers' understanding of and need for nullification, combined with modern-day Sheriff Mack decision. Well, what more do you want? What we need now is literally government officials to act. And Sheriff, until they start acting, we're in trouble. And we, the people, need great enough numbers. You mentioned the power of one. That's probably what we ought to call the conference coming up in Vegas. Call it the power of one. Whether it be the sheriff, whether it be you, whether it be me, whether it be folks in the media, whether it be Hunter, our producer behind the scenes that doesn't get enough credit that he well deserves. The power of one is so critical, because one becomes two, then two become the few, and then few become the many. And, you know, there you go. Randy, welcome to the Sheriff Mack Show,
I'm
sir.
Here. Thank you.
Let's be really quick. We're about flat out of time. Just so everybody knows, you are the Arizona State Director for the CSPOA. Welcome. And you're also involved in a lot of legislative efforts and everything else. You guys filed an incredible complaint. Catch us up, sir.
Yes, we did. We filed a criminal complaint with the State Attorney General's office. It was a criminal complaint we have in seven states now. And this one is case number 2022. Dash 0412. We can have many other people sign on to that complaint number. The allegations are, I'm sorry, we had difficulties. Okay, the allegations are we have crimes against humanity, genocide, fraud in connection with major disaster emergency benefits. This fraud is in relation to the money being handed out through the COVID relief package that was distributed to the states that participated all the way down to the counties, that actually is racketeering from the federal government on down because they're profiting off criminal behavior. The profiting comes from the homicides that are occurring in the hospitals. We have done several different hospital rescues for people that have been requested to get out of the hospital because they don't want to be there. They're not being treated properly through the COVID protocol by the CDC. They actually get paid for this. Every step and every process that you are in the hospital, they pay you for that to make sure you don't get the treatments. That's the attempted homicide, the criminal assault, aggravated assault, endangerment. These are ARS statutes, Arizona Revised Statutes. Endangerment, threatening or intimidating. These people that are in the hospital are being, the employers. When the employer tells you you have to have the shot or get or lose your job, that is threatening and intimidating. We have unlawful practices, illegal control of an enterprise, fraudulent schemes and artifices, fraudulent schemes and practices. This is the billing within the hospital. This is the acceptance of the money from the counties and the schools. The schools get paid for mandating these issues. Were you going to say something?
Now, you've already turned that into the Arizona AG's office, correct?
Yes, I did.
And have you got any kind of response?
For a second. Let's back up for a second and understand this, though. Did you first take this to a local county sheriff?
We did not. We took it straight to the attorney general's office because of the impact. It's on we want the whole state. This is impacting every citizen in the state of Arizona, not just the county. I'm encouraging when I talk to other people in different counties, they should take it to their county. Open an investigation with their sheriff's department. I haven't been able to get into our sheriff's department because every time you want to go into a county building, even the court, they demand you wear a mask, the face diaper, and they demand they're going to take your temperature for upon entry, and I refused to do that. So what I did is I asked them if they would please send somebody down, and the court even would not send anybody down. They demanded we go inside. So the criminal complaint touches on everything that we can think of. Terrorism is another. Terrorism is defined by getting an individual or a group of people to do something they normally would not do out of fear. Everybody's right. Impacted by this.
They are. There's so no question about it. So tell me what this complaint means then. What does that mean that you filed a complaint?
We filed the complaint. The request. We gave them all the information. There's 51 pages to this complaint. We have the evidentiary information that they need to investigate. We gave them links of facts proving what we say. We have an email from a lab to Dr. Fauci that explains how they converted the COVID-19 into a biological weapon. So the virus itself, we have the information for that. It's handed out to the attorney general. They just need to do the investigation. I'm working with a sheriff's association in a state. I don't want to stay right now because of the sensitivity of it, where I'm going to do a presentation to them. I've spoken to the director for the state sheriff's association and the former director, and they're both on board with it. And I'm going to do a presentation to 27 of the 37 sheriffs in May. And hopefully we can put something together where they will actually investigate the governor, file charges and start getting, we'll do the investigation. I will help with the investigation, as will several other of my friends that are retired police officers, one of them from that state.
Sheriff?
So How long ago did you turn that into the AG's office in Arizona?
It's been about 6 weeks now. I have 30 co-complainants, and we're working on getting more. It's a numbers game. I think you were talking about numbers before. They can run from 30 people complaining, but if we get 3,000 in the state of Arizona, it's very difficult for the attorney general or a county attorney to run from a large number of people all presenting a complaint of these crimes being committed. These are crimes being committed by our government.
Oh, yes. Well, okay, so how do I put my name on it?
Okay, there's four pages on there. Page four or five, I can't remember, page 18 and page 25 or 26. I'll go through it on a webinar tonight, Thursday night. All those pages, because you're going to use our case number. You put our case number 2022-0412 at the top of the page. That's for Arizona. Atop of each page. And all these pages are is that you're putting your name and information down, stating that you're the complainant. You're listing that these pages are stating the facts as they relate to you, and you're attesting to the claims made in the criminal complaint. When you fill those and two of those pages are dealing with an employer. If you have an employer who has mandated the shot or the job, then you put the information in there. Either usually it's done by email or a written notice to the employee, and you put the date that you were notified on page four, I think. Put the date of you were notified, the name of the person who notified you, their position, and the company. And then on page 18, it's just a follow-up because it's the facts of the case. You put on that date the name of the person who mandated you to take it. And so there's two of those pages are relating to the employer. If they don't apply to you, you put N.A. Because, Sheriff, as you know, on any legal document, you don't leave anything blank. If it's not applicable, you put N.A. or you put a big line through the page on your investigative report. So what you're going to do is you're going to put N.A. on relating to your
Understood.
Employer.
I don't mean to hurry you, but I want to get enough out, Randy, on this before the end of the time we have. So what's happened since you filed this? Anything?
Nope, nothing. I've got to do a follow-up with the investigator who was actually quite rude when we demanded to speak to somebody.
Of course.
We haven't heard anything, so I'm getting more people, three more people this week to file, and we're going to submit it to add it to the complaint to keep it alive. But our hopes are we won't get anything done. I don't think the Attorney General is going to do anything until we get a large number of people to stand up and say we want this looked at.
All right, so here's my recommendation. How many sheriffs are in the state of Arizona?
15.
I would take that to all 15 sheriffs, all 15 district attorneys, all 15 county commissions, and I would see if you can get any or as many of those local county people on board as you can. Because if you do that, you're getting elected officials. You're also getting people who can launch their own investigations to add weight to the loss or to the I don't want to say lawsuit. I guess it's a complaint, but wait to the complaint, right?
Correct. We're doing that in Wickenburg. I'm getting some associates of mine in Wickenburg to file with the local police department. I agree with you. We got to get it in anybody and everybody that has a jurisdiction to investigate this, which all these people that you just mentioned have original jurisdiction on crimes against humanity.
Now, Randy, before we end as well, how do people get a hold of you if they want to support yours in Arizona or start one in their state? What do they do?
Well, I'm going to give my phone number. They can call 623-866-3544.
We're flat out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Randy, thank you so much. Sheriff, thank you indeed.
Thank you, Randy.
We've got to take action, my fellow Americans, and we got to do it now.
Thank you. Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Simulcasting with the Sheriff Mac Show. Bridey on radio, Bridey on TV. Most importantly, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell your neighbors, share the love. Lovingliberty.net has an incredible website, first of all, with incredible talk show hosts around the clock, but in addition, a bunch of incredible podcasts. I mentioned Tom Woods in conjunction with this situation about nullification that we talked about on the Sheriff Mac Show a little bit earlier. And Tom Woods is one of the podcasters on lovingliberty.net. In addition, lovingliberty.net has incredible phone apps, an iPhone app and an Android app, in addition to the online listening opportunity, where you can download the apps for free and 24/7 radio at your fingertips, live and on demand. You can listen to the shows live in the 24/7 lineup on the radio, lovingliberty.net, or you can listen to an archived show or a podcast. There's a lot of podcasters that we don't have in the original radio lineup because their podcasts are of varying length and stuff like that. It's not easy to just add them to the lineup. But they're no doubt just as important, folks, right? It's just as important. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. It's just as important for their podcast as the regular radio lineup. Okay, nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny is the book Tom Woods wrote, right? How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. They got a nullification movie. TomWoods.com. To learn more about it, you got jury nullification? You got state nullification? Nullification is a key core principle to understand, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to commend Tom Woods for his really speaking out and doing a phenomenal job, right? Tom Woods is a great guy, an incredible educator. Anyway, I focus on that because of his stellar work. And so we carry his podcast on the Loving Liberty Radio Network, along with many other shows, Liberty Roundtable. We also have Beth Ann, who is a well-known broadcaster from Missouri, Common Sense Talk Radio, does a phenomenal job. We have C.L. Bright, does a phenomenal job as well. Anyway, just some of the shows highlighted there. You can also check out incredible shows on BrighteonRadio.com. And one of the things we're starting to do is have all those guests from the different shows on to help cross-promote our shows. We've got to work together. We've got to spread the word. We've got to make a sacred, valiant stand, and we got to do it now. Thanks so much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. I hope it's worth your efforts, because you know what? We do our very best to advocate for the sacred cause of liberty. I'm Sam Bushman. And you know what? We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will indeed restore our grand old republic. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.